The deadline has come and passed for NFL teams to stick the franchise or transition tag on their players. The Tennessee Titans did neither, which means Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, others, as expected, are all headed to free agency, which begins next week. Things are getting serious here in the off season, folks. The NFL Combine is also in the rearview mirror, so teams are getting closer to knowing who they like, who they don't like, who they think they might be able to pick, or who they want to pick. But free agency is squarely in our sights, as I mentioned. So we will look there first in this episode of Believe in Titans. And I should note that we are back this week. We apologize that we missed last week, but some scheduling conflicts got in the way, could not be avoided. So we are together again. Denard Walker, former Titans cornerback, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good this evening. Yourself?
Doing great. John Glennon of the Nashville Post, how are you?
Hope you guys are.
Doing great. And I am David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner. So as I mentioned, free agency is the free agency signing period is coming. And the Tennessee Titans have money to spend. According to the website overthecap.com, they have $75.8 million of available cap space, which is third highest in the NFL at this point. It's a lot of money. You know, the salary cap increased by $30 million this offseason, which is the largest jump the league has experienced since it went to a salary cap. I guess that probably made bigger players out of some teams. But John, there's no question that if the Titans want to spend, they can certainly spend this year. Where do you think they're going to start looking first with all this money?
I guess, you know, if I'm the Titans and I do have some money to not burn, but to spend as opposed to previous years, you know, I mean, automatically the positions that come to mind for the Titans, as we've been discussing for weeks, are, you know, wide receiver, tackle / offensive line in general, and probably, you know, cornerback as well. One part of me says, go after Calvin Ridley. I think he is, with the tags now in place for wide receivers, I think he's kind of like their best option on the market, you know, kind of top of the line guy. You know, some of the contract estimates I've seen, 4 years, $70 million, or maybe 3 years, $55 million. But, you know, this is a guy who once again proved very productive, can get down the field, has familiarity with Nick Holtz, the Titans' new offensive coordinator, because Nick Holtz was the passing game coordinator last year. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Passing game coordinator or quarterback's coach? In any case, he certainly has some familiarity with Nick Holtz from last season. So I think that is one possible route where they could spend a lot of money. But I tell you what kind of caught my eye a little bit earlier today in terms of, spending money. And this is like a little bit of a tangent to free agency. Cornerback Legarius Sneed is pretty much recognized as the corner who would have been the number one guy on the market at that position if the Chiefs had not franchise tagged him. But in tagging him, the Chiefs have also basically said, look, we're going to give you permission to seek trades as well. And there's a USA Today report that the Titans are one of seven teams that have inquired about, the possible trade of Legarius Sneed. And I think that would be a great way, you know, for a year that you do have some money to spend. If you can find a deal for Legarius Sneed, and that's what would be required to get this trade done, Legarius Sneed would have to approve of a long-term deal in order to move to a new team, and it wouldn't come easy. You know, I saw one contract estimate for a guy of his caliber, top of the line corner on the market, probably 5 years, $95 million. So that's That is some impressive change that somebody's going to have to roll out. But why not? If you're the Titans and you have the money to spend, it's a great place to do it. You've only got really one of your top three corners that's likely back in Roger McCreary, excuse me. Legarius Sneed is 27 years old. Didn't give up a touchdown pass all last year. Six picks and, it just looks like would be an outstanding corner. So I think if I'm gonna roll the dice and throw out some big cash, that's the way to go if I'm the Titans.
Yeah, but you know if you have to trade for him,
that becomes
a challenge too, because as we have said, Titans don't have a ton of draft capital this year
true.
To
Very
move.
True.
They don't have elite talent that they can say, hey, well, we'll give up, we'll give you this guy. I mean, they need all the good players they can get right now. So I think that's a nice, it's a good wish, but I think it's going to be really hard for the Titans to make that deal. But it does suggest, which I think is a surprise to no one, that cornerback is a position of priority heading into this time of year for the Titans. And I would suspect we will see a free agent signing or two and probably a fairly high draft pick at that position, because those guys, as Denard knows, it's a tough position to play. Denard, as you look at the list of available free agents, and it's a big, pretty impressive one at this point. Is there a name or two that jumps out at you that you think the Titans would or should really want?
Well, it was T. Higgins. Unfortunately, they franchised
him,
so that went off the chart. But it's hard not to roll with the big man Tyron Smith right here in Dallas, in my neck of the woods, because the way that they played last year on that offensive line with Andre Dillard, that experiment went wrong from the get-go. And that team paid for it. I mean, you think about it. Ryan didn't complete the season because he was banged up. And that's what opened the door for Will, was the fact that the offensive line was abysmal. But the big man, I mean, look at what he's done. I mean, over a 13-year career, what is it? Two-time first-team All-Pro, three-time first-team All-Pro, eight Pro Bowls. And what he brings, what he would bring to the table, David and John, he will bring experience. He will bring leadership. And when he's healthy, he's one of the most consistent left tackles in the game. Now, I know with the emergence of Tyler Smith, they moved him to the right side. That's a good thing, because that means he can play both sides. But I would love to see them get a quality tackle in free agency. And what better than Tyron Smith? I mean, just 33 years old, he's still young. And not to mention, at that age and that much production, they probably wouldn't have to really break the bank in getting him to Nashville.
Yeah,
are you? Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
No, I'm sorry. I was just asking Denard. Do the injuries concern you though, Denard? He hadn't been real healthy the last few years, and not a young guy.
Yeah, you know what? Because I mean, you think about some of the injuries he's had. He had neck surgery. What was that back a few years ago? In 2020, he had some neck issues, and then he had surgery on his neck. But he came back, and then I know he was hampered a little bit with some ankle sprains in 2021. And then, again, he's been kind of banged up, but it hasn't been one of those injuries maybe he's torn his ACL about three times. He haven't had that kind of an injury. So he's had the kind of injuries, John, that you can get back, and it's something that's not going to hinder you. But unfortunately, he had the hamstring in 2022, but I mean, he fully recovered. So I think if he can just come into camp healthy and stay healthy, I mean, the production that he can give you at that position, it's off the chart. I mean, you just can't go wrong with a quality tackle in today's game.
Yeah, and the good news for the Titans is, say they don't get Tyron Smith, there are a couple other guys, Jonah Williams out there, Trenton Brown, similar guys in that they've played both sides. They've played for good teams. They've won games in this league. I think you can, if you're Rand Carthen, you can feel pretty good about your chances to get somebody of pretty high quality at that position. As I look at this thing though, too, I kind of think, okay, what What is it about the 49ers, where of course Rand Carthen came, or from where Rand Carthen came, that sets them apart that he might be trying to replicate here? And one name that it's not necessarily a position of huge need relative to the ones that we have talked about so much throughout the season and since the season, but a guy like Patrick Queen, to me, an inside linebacker. When you think of the 49ers defense right now, you know, you're thinking Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner and the ability those guys have to just sort of be everywhere and make tackles. And Patrick Queen is a guy that I see in that same vein. Every time I watched the Ravens in the last couple of years, you couldn't help but notice that guy. He plays fast. He plays physical, and you put him behind, say, a Jeffrey Simmons and his ability to occupy blockers or even disrupt the blocking scheme altogether, you know, it strikes me that Patrick Queen could rack up 150 tackles without even breaking a sweat, hardly on that kind of defense. So it, you know, that's a little bit different than a lot of people are thinking. But I think that could be money well spent. You know, according to Spot Rack, they're projecting a contract at like 4 years, $75 million, which is good money, but it's not break the bank money at this point. For the Titans, you're going to have to spend that money somewhere. That's an interesting option to me. Another one, I think they should look at a veteran center too. And there are a couple of guys out there, like Lloyd Cushenberry is one who comes to mind. I just think about how good this team was when Kevin Mawai was here, for example, or, you know, Denard, your last year or so when Bruce Matthews moved back to center from guard, an experienced, talented center, or just think of Ben Jones here a couple of years ago too. An experienced, talented center makes such a difference for the offensive line that I think while Aaron Brewer put up a good fight last season, I think they need to be better at that spot, and that's a spot though where you don't have to throw huge money, and I think you can make a big impact. As we look at the free agent market though, John, it's been interesting this week. The Buffalo Bills are a team that's freeing up money and trying to give themselves more maneuverability. And speaking of centers, one of the players they released this week is veteran center Mitch Morse, who I think is another guy who could sort of fit the bill. They've also released safety Jordan Poyer, among some others, and cornerback Tre'Davious White is going to be released, albeit with a June 1st designation. You know, the Bills have been one of the better teams in the AFC. Haven't been able to get over the Kansas City hurdle the last couple of years. John, as you look at this, are the Bills coming back to the field a little bit, you think, number one? And number two, can the Titans benefit? Should the Titans benefit by looking at any of those particular players?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the Bills, you know, as you look at their moves today and what they had to do to get back under the cap after being so far over for last year, I think, you know, basically it looked like, you know, the Bills took a very good shot last year, figuring they had a Super Bowl caliber team, you know, and loaded up payroll and said, all right, we're going to give it our shot. So I think they're basically acknowledging right now, you know, obviously we didn't get a ton, we've got a trim payroll, and some of these veterans who we had hoped would wind up with a Super Bowl did not, and we have to bid them farewell. The three big ones today that you mentioned, you know, yeah, the kind of the one that really makes the most sense to me, I think, is you know, the position you were just talking about, Mitch Morse at center. You know, is a monstrous guy, like 6'6", 305. He's durable, four games missed in the last 3 years combined, Pro Bowl in 2022. He's a good, recognized as a good, solid run blocker, But he's even better pass blocker than run blocker. You look at the numbers from last year, one sack allowed and 773, pass blocking snaps. Not too shabby at all. So I kind of like that fit for a big position of need. He's 31 years old, but again, offensive lineman, certainly that's not too old there. Maybe number two of those three bills we mentioned in my priority list would probably be Jordan Poyer. Kind of the downside, he's a safety who's turning 33 next month. You start to wonder a little bit about things there. He was an All-Pro in 2021, Pro Bowl in 2022. Numbers kind of dropped this past year, not outrageously, but no picks, and I think just four PBUs, missed a fair amount of action as well. Does play both safety positions, which is good, but I just, as I say, a little bit concerned about the age thing. And then Tre'Davious White, certainly great talent, from a few years back, a first round pick, 2017. But I think that maybe the last few years have not necessarily been kind to him in terms of injuries and so forth. Missed an awful lot of games the last few years. Just does not necessarily appear to be quite the talent he was, maybe 3, 4 years back. So he would probably be, of those three bills, the big bills that were cut today, he would probably be number three priority, I would think, for Titans.
What say you, Denard? Is Tre'Davious White still an elite cornerback in this league? Can he make a pass defense pretty good just by showing up?
I love Tre'Davious White because that's my man from LSU, and on this show the last few years, I don't talk bad about no one from LSU, but he seems to have lost his step in his game. I mean, when you watch him, he's not the same guy we've seen a few years ago when he would take the number one receiver. I don't believe he's a shutdown corner at this stage of his career. But what I do like, I still like Jordan Poyer. I know we talk about the age, but you remember Rod Woodson. I mean, when he went to Baltimore, he was what, 100 years old? He made the difference. You're talking about a difference maker. Then he went over to Oakland, which is, I don't even like to call him Las Vegas. And then still was making Pro Bowls. And that's the thing about that safety position. I mean, you don't have to be, 21 to still make plays. And when you think about the tight secondary, I mean, this was what the secondary ranked last season in secondary play this year.
Not good. Yeah, very,
Yes.
very, very close to the bottom.
So what, and you think about it, I mean, who do you have that free safety now, David? Is it Kayvon Wallace and Terrell Edmonds? So do you think that it would be an upgrade if they was to get Poyer? You're talking about not only a Pro Bowl player, but you're talking about these young corners. And so not all of the responsibility has to be on Imani Hooker. And then you bring Poyer in, mix those two up together, you almost get the same leadership qualities that you got in Kevin Byard.
And we should note that Kevin Byard is available again. The Philadelphia Eagles cut him in a cost-saving move. John Glennon, any chance Kevin Byard ends up back in Tennessee? Can you see that?
Yeah, I would. I think a lot of people would love to see him. I'm sure a lot of his former teammates would love to have him back, and fans love him. Chris Harris was his coach last year. I would suspect he'd be okay with bringing him back too, but it's hard to imagine it, basically because obviously the same general manager, Rand Carthen, is the guy who basically, who moved him to Philly, in effect saying, A, Kevin Byard, we think you're expendable. And B, maybe that you're maybe part of the problem that a secondary that has not been very good. That seems to be implicit in what the Titans did when they moved Kevin Byard, in addition to being a salary cap situation. And on the other side of things, Kevin Byard, is a very talented guy, a very proud guy too. And you wonder, what would be going through his mind, as much as he's been here forever, and Middle Tennessee State as well. And I'm sure there's part of him that would love to come back. I'm sure there's some part of him too that's still, I don't know, hurt or frustrated over what happened. Nobody likes to get moved when they feel comfortable in one spot. So I would see it unlikely reunion in this situation.
Yeah, I've said it. Just everything that happened since Rand Carthen became general manager suggests he doesn't see Kevin Byard as the player that so many folks in Tennessee do. And maybe it's that he's not the player he was, or maybe he just doesn't fit Rand Carthen's mind's eye for what that position should be. But Denard, as you look at Kevin Byard, and certainly he didn't solve all the problems for Philadelphia's defense in his time there in the latter part of this season. How big a market you think will there be for KB this offseason, and how much of a difference can he still make in this league?
He's still a difference maker, unfortunately, in this league, David. It's and I hate to say this word, but it's kind of a hypergamy way of thinking when you're talking about people at the top, because they're always looking to get younger in this business. That's just reality. And when you start getting up in 30, but he's about what, 30, flirting with that 30 years of age, right about this
Yep,
career.
that's right.
Unfortunately, it's like your value to a lot of the critics and a lot of the owners, it goes down. I don't care. Unless you like Rod Woodson, where you're on the tail end, you have to get cut by San Francisco, then move to safety when you got Baltimore, ball out, and then get another contract. It's hard. And so right now, if you're Kevin, I know what it's like in this market when you start getting 30. It's tough to get those, what I call them big dollars. So I think he has a lot of veteran presence. Excuse me, he has a lot of leadership left in him. He just got to get in the right system for Kevin Byard.
Do you think it'd be better for him to go to the end to a team that has a young secondary where he can sort of be the
Yes.
voice of reason, or an older group where they all sort of have seen the same things and think alike?
Now you think about it, he will fit better in where you have a unit that's young, because they need that veteran leadership. Even if you bring him in, and let's say he's not a starter, a lot of times people will bring in a veteran like Kevin Byard to be a mentor, not just to be a mentor to a lot of players. I mean, if you look at Tennessee secondary, Christian Fulton, McCrary going into his, what, third year, Sean Murphy Bunton, Caleb, these are all young players. So you think about it, if you are a young player, what do you want? You want a veteran like a Marcus Robinson, like a Kevin Byard that's got 8, 9, 10 years in the league. They can help put you into position to succeed. So I think he'll be a great asset to an organization that has a lot of young corners that need to be mentored. The way that you're mentored in this league is not by another corner. It's a lot of times by a safety. And I know for me, what helped my career is being around Marcus Robinson and Blaine Bishop.
Interesting. We will see what happens. Whatever the Titans do in free agency is bound to have an effect on their draft strategy ultimately. I doubt it will change one way or the other what they ultimately do with their first round pick, which, to remind folks out there, they are scheduled to pick number 7 overall. But with as I mentioned, the NFL scouting combine is over, and one of the guys who seems to have done well for himself, or who has created some buzz, and of course you always have to be wary at this time of year of counterintelligence and people pushing somebody to create opportunities for somebody else. But Michigan quarterback JJ McCarthy seems to be a guy who's attracting a lot of attention, and presumably among some could work his way into the top 10 and maybe even the top 6, if you will, before the Titans pick. John, how realistic is it to think that, and how much would it impact the Titans' decision at number 7 if JJ McCarthy gets up into that early part of the first round?
Yeah, there certainly is buzz coming out of the combine. JJ McCarthy didn't do the full workouts, not all the different drills and so forth up there, but he was one of the few top quarterbacks to throw, and I think he made a very good accounting of himself up there, impressed a lot of people. And as I said, the buzz when it's getting back to people, in NFL circles and analysts and so forth, seems to be real. An example I just noticed today, Charles Davis, the former UT great and now an NFL analyst. He did a his I think it was his first mock today. He had JJ McCarthy at number six from with the New York Giants taking JJ McCarthy there as a replacement for Daniel Jones. And the way it, obviously this could impact the Titans if he really moves up, kind of two ways. One, if there are four quarterbacks, picked within those first six picks, then at least two of the four guys that have kind of widely been mocked to the Titans, wide receivers Romo Odunze, wide receiver Malik Nabers, and the tackles Joe Alt and Olu Fashanu. Well, at least two of those guys are going to be there if quarterbacks happen to go in four of the top six. And the other way it could impact it as well is if there continues to be more and more interest with JJ McCarthy. Well, maybe some of those teams are going to want to move up from where behind the Titans in order to make sure they get JJ McCarthy. Because picking right behind the Titans at number eight is Atlanta. You look at Atlanta right now, they're certainly looking for a quarterback. So if a team wants to jump leapfrog Atlanta, Titans are a logical place to go. I saw one report that the Raiders had been looking three different teams to potentially deal with. And that's the Chargers at five, the Giants at six, and the Titans at seven. So if I'm the Titans, I'm loving the buzz that JJ McCarthy is creating. I'm fanning those flames as much as possible because I think anything that can have four quarterbacks taken before the Titans go to the board is a good thing for Tennessee.
We know, I think it's pretty safe to say Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick. Of course, there's Drake May out of North Carolina, Jaden Daniels, Denard's guy out of LSU, the
My guy,
Heisman Trophy winner. What's
he's
that?
not my guy
Not
because
your guy?
he comes from ASU. He's not my guy.
Why? Okay. But he's another guy. Like early in the offseason, it was like, oh, maybe 10 to 15. Now they're talking about him as maybe the number two overall pick. JJ McCarthy. Darn, I mean, it is too much emphasis placed on these quarterbacks in the first round. Should teams be more patient at that position, you think?
I mean, look at how most of them pan out. I mean, John, you just said it. They're going to go, the Giants are going to replace, talking about replacing Daniel Jones with McCarthy. But it wasn't a lot of people didn't rave about that pick for New York. But I mean, what about the situation with Justin Fields? I mean, couldn't that determine a lot if that trade goes down?
That could impact it too,
That
sure.
could impact it too. Now, and that's what I don't understand. When I look at this quarterback class, I don't think many people are sold with Caleb Williams. I really don't.
I,
There
you,
do seem
you're
to be
st you're
some red
certainly
flags.
starting to, yeah, you're starting to hear more of that right now too, that there's a lot of nitpicking about Caleb Williams, and I don't think it's enough that he's going to fall from the number one overall spot, but there is sort of a there's certainly a sense out there that he's not the slam dunk that everybody seemed to project him to be back in September and October here, right?
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he comes with a lot of hype because of the Heisman last year that he won under Lincoln Riley. And I've had a chance to watch him play. What a talent, but I don't believe he's that first picked. I just don't see it. I mean, to me, really, the guy, and again, is JJ McCarthy. I mean, he won a national championship at Michigan. He's consistent. He plays well in the big games. Or I'm going to go with Drake Mays, that North Carolina, before I go with Caleb Williams.
What about Marvin Harrison? I mean, some might say he's the Marvin Harrison Jr., I should say, that he's the best player in this draft class period. And I thought it was interesting. His approach to the combine was like, I don't need the combine. My game film is out there. You guys know who my dad was. You've seen what I do. I don't think I don't think he's really sweating this draft at all. But go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, well, I thought what was interesting about Harrison too is really what he did. He said basically, like, I know I'm going to be picked very high, So I'm not going to, like, all these guys go through so many of these pre-combine drills that are not necessarily football specific, but they're to get your best 40 time or your great vertical jump or show your explosiveness in various drills. And he basically said, look, my tape is out there. You guys know how good I am. What I'm going to do is concentrate on my football training during the time when most of these guys are doing their NFL combine training. So if you're the team that picks him, you're probably pretty happy about that. He doesn't have to transition from being like an Olympic sprinter type athlete for a few months and then transitioning back to football. He's football full steam ahead. So I think the team that picks him comes out on top in that situation.
Any chance he falls to seven?
I don't think I've seen a few occasionally a mock or two in there, but I don't think so. I think, probably 80, 90% of what I see from these analysts is he's just a little bit above. It's not like weight, it's not like head and shoulders above of Neighbors and Odunze, but just enough to make me think he'll be top guy.
Denard, it perhaps maybe the most interesting comment from the Titans at the scouting combine was from first year head coach Brian Callahan, who was asked about, maybe drafting a tackle versus drafting a wide receiver at number seven. And he said, and I quote, "When all things are equal, guys that can score touchdowns tend to make more of an impact." John just threw out three names: Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze. Some, at least one of them is going to be available at number seven. That seemed like the obvious landing spot now, as opposed to a tackle.
You win in this league in the trenches. I'm telling you, these new guys today, I don't know what's their problem. They want to all these, what? It's called the Kyle Shanahan disease. They want to score all of these points. That's the way a lot of these offensive coordinators think today. They're not old school football like the way we grew up. And we grew up in a time, David and John, where everything was in the trenches. If you look at the great teams in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, they had great what? Offensive lines. That's where you won or you lost. And the way that Tennessee played last year, their offensive line was terrible. So let me ask you something. Let's say you go out and get Marvin Harrison. Well, if Will don't have the time to throw it to him, then what's the point?
It's a great question. Yeah, I and with the it's such a delicate thing too, because I don't think there's any question that these three guys we talked about, they're difference makers, but are they that much better than guys you can get in the second and third round, given the number of wide receivers who are coming out nowadays versus a Joe Alt or somebody like that that you could get at tackle and plug in? It seems like there's a bigger drop off at that position than there is at wide receiver a lot of times. I mean, I guess that's why these guys get paid the big bucks, and why they get fired so much. John, I mean, I mean, was that a declaration though to you that you think it's absolutely a wide receiver there, unless something really crazy happens?
I'm going to say I did come away from the combine definitely thinking more that there's more of a chance that they might end up with a wide receiver than I had before. In my mind, I kind of agree with Denard's philosophy too, that you need that tackle. If you can get a stud left tackle, you do it. They're at number seven, and it looks like the Titans will have that opportunity. But we can't forget either. Brian Callahan was in Cincinnati in 2021 when they went Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell at number five. Turned out pretty well with what they've been able to do with Ja'Marr Chase. Brian Callahan has also said, one thing that helps the passing game too and reduces the sacks, if you can get quicker separation from your wide receivers. So in that way, it's not only a left tackle that helps reduce the sack problem, it's the wide receiver that can help the sack problem as well. So I don't know. And Brian Callahan again said that move that they made that day to take Chase over Sewell, he said it made a big impact on him. Didn't say it was necessarily the exact same situation, the Titans will have this year, but did say it'll have a big impact on them. And he said the NFL now is about scoring points, and having guys that score points is important. So I left a little bit more open-minded to the possibility of a wide receiver. If I still had to put a dollar, I'd go with tackle right now, but who knows? That may change.
All right, real quickly, one word. We got about a minute left here. John, where's Derrick Henry playing next year?
Dallas.
Denard, where's Derrick Henry playing next year?
He's right down the street. He lives here in Dallas, David. It's already on the wall. He lives.
All right. I'm thinking Seattle. I don't know why,
oh,
but I'm
no.
thinking Seattle.
That's too far.
Denard doesn't like that. We will know next week, probably. We will see how it all plays out, and we will discuss such things once again on Believe in Titans. Thank you for listening.